Hey, everyone. Frank Vespi here. This is the Off to the Races podcast on the Racing Biz Radio, and it is our special Mid-Atlantic Day edition where we have three handicappers who are going to be handicapping the five Virginia and Maryland bred stakes on the Pimlico Saturday card. We've got really probably the three best people to handicap these five races. We have Gary Quill, who authors the GQ Approach, following Maryland racing each racing day on the racingbiz.com. Gary, say hi.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. We got Nick Hahn, who authors Nick's Picks kind of whenever he feels like it, and used to do them every day for live racing at Colonial Downs when there used to be a Colonial Downs. Nick, say hey.
Bring racing back to Virginia.
Attaboy. And then, of course, the legendary former on-air handicapper and analyst for Colonial Downs, Derby Bill Watson. Derby Bill and Nick have probably watched more Virginia-bred races than just about anyone. How are you, Derby Bill?
Yes, 14 on the turf drove me to the nickname ATM.
Attaboy. All right, we're going to dive right in here. We've got five races to go over, the first of which is the Edward P. Evans Stakes, the Ned Evans, $60,000 mile and a 16th on the turf for three-year-old Virginia-bred, Virginia-sired horses and upwards. And we've got pretty substantial agreement on the first two spots here. In fact, we have complete agreement on the first two spots here. Everybody is on the 3-5 favorite Rosebriar coming out of a third-place finish in the Red Bank Stakes. Nick, I'm going to ask you to be the first guy to speak to Rosebriar. Why is everybody on Rosebriar here?
Maybe because he's racing south of the Mason-Dixon line. This is a horse that was on a three-race winning streak. He runs real well on the Maryland Pimlico circuit. And just has been dominating. Went up to Monmouth and just kind of pressed the pace there a little bit. But I think he's can handle this field here. It's a short field. Bill Backer is the breeder of this horse, and we just seem to find out more and more about Bill Backer posthumously. But I just like his connections there, and I'm just going to draw a line through that Monmouth race.
Well, and he was third, beat a length in a grade three. I'm not sure we need to draw a line through it. Nothing wrong with it. And he did beat, he did win the Henry S. Clark at Laurel in his race prior to that. So certainly he's a horse with plenty of good form to go back to. Bill, you and everyone else here also have the same horse finishing second, who is also the second choice on the morning line. That's Special Envoy, 8-5, a Mr. and Mrs. Bertram Firestone runner who's trained by Arno Delacour. Give us a little insight into your thoughts on Special Envoy.
Well, in this race, he's obviously got respect at 8-5 morning line with Edgar coming back to Maryland to race and getting in the swing of things, so he's ready to turn it up for some stakes wins. But Special Envoy, 75% in the money is the big thing there on the turf, lifetime career. So definitely the second best horse in this race, so I'm trying to find a third behind him and to play a straight triple, because it's the only way you're going to make a lot of money in the race named after the great Mr. Evans, who, Rosebriar's not a quality road grade one winner from Mr. Evans' stock, but certainly should win this race easily. And, the Evans clan goes back to the Pleasant Colony in the 1981 Derby, so a lot of history supporting this race, but just wish they had a little better field in it.
Yeah, it is a short field, a couple of nice runners, as you say. Both you and Nick settle on Cat 55 in third. He's a 15-1 shot. Chucky Lawrence trainee just won a first allowance last out, but is 0-2 on the turf. But GQ, you went in a same direction first and second, but you went off the board for your third place horse with 20-1 shot Willisville, who most recently won a mile and a quarter turf allowance over the soft going at Great Meadow. Talk about Willisville a little bit.
Well,
as you said, we both, there seems to be two standouts in the race. After that, you know, you shuffle up the other five and anything can happen. But I do agree that probably Cat 55 is probably the best of the best of the rest based on his turf numbers. But I just took a flyer with turf races. Anytime you see a horse debut in the Jamestown, that means they like the turf breeding. And, you know, out of a Thunder Gulch mare and having theatrical as the grandsire, you never know. And I kind of like these horses that come off. He hadn't been out in 13 months, and then on Derby Day, ran this mile and a quarter on the soft grass carrying 150. So if that doesn't get him in shape to carry 32 pounds less and go a mile and a 16th, I was just trying to be inventive and see that he could possibly fill the trifecta of cheap one at that.
All right, so there we have it. We've got complete agreement. Rose Breyer on top, Special Envoy second, and two votes for Cat 55 in the show spot, and GQ going to go off the board with Willisville in the show spot. So that is the Ned Evans. The next of our five stakes is the Mile and Eighth All Brandy for fillies and mares three and up. These are for Maryland breds, $75,000 race. This is a race, kind of an interesting race, and kind of headlined by the horse who won this race 2 years back and was second beat ahead last year, and is coming out of another second beat ahead performance, but that was in the Grade 3 Gallarette, and that horse is Veal Psalm, trained by Lynn Ashby for Brooke Bowman. And Gary and Nick both settled on Veal Psalm. Nick, what's your take on Veal Psalm?
I just think he had a nice run in the Gallarette. I think he just might, or she actually may be a bit of a hot horse right now. Seems to be back at a distance that, you know, they tried this horse at a sprint early to start the year on the turf. And, you know, maybe that was a tune up the whole way. And now they have the mare in form. That's maybe all you need to give a 6-year-old mare to get her started, you know, for her 2016 campaign. So, all those good performances were on the soft going, or at least a good turf condition, on the Maryland tracks. So you have a little bit of a question over, you know, what this horse might do on a firmer going, but, you know, this is a pretty good field right here. It's only six horses, but they're very evenly matched in this group. And I think just, you know, Forrest Boyce is coming back to ride this horse. I give her a little bit of a nod.
An interesting thing happening in this race, sort of with the morning line odds anyway, Veal Psalm was 76-1 in the Gallarette, finished second, beat ahead. She's 3-1 on the morning line. There's another horse 3-1 on the morning line here. That's Del Capuano trainee Monster Sleeping. She was 11th, beat 6¾ in the Gallarette, and she's got the same morning line as Veal Psalm. So kind of an interesting thing there with the odds. And one of our members, Derby Bill, you settled on Monster Sleeping as your choice here. She's the defending Maryland Million Ladies champ. How do you see Monster Sleeping turning the tables on Veal Psalm here?
Definitely, as Nick said, is the field that you could have picked any horse in this field. And I wouldn't really kill your argument or argue against you. But this one has just went on the back class of this horse that says class, as you said, the Maryland Million. Just very familiar with the length of the race, and that Amal, I thought Amal upset. I didn't think Ginger and Rye would be the favorite in this race. I thought Veal Psalm, you know, off his last race would be like 6-5 here. So I definitely was stunned by the morning line here. And if I can get 3-1 on Wheelett, your hottest jockey, I don't know the standings today after today, but Virgil Lynch is the top jockey at Maryland Mail, isn't he?
Yeah, he and Carrasco and McCarthy have been slugging it out at the top of the standings, but he's been hot.
Riding his little butt off for Dale Capuano in this race, and you know what that means to me. And if you can get some value at 3-1 or more, I'm all over this horse late in the race.
Now, Gary, you also settled on Vielsalm. You tossing Ginger and Rye completely. You got Northern Smile underneath just in second, just was third in an allowance contest over the strip, and Two Back was second, beat a neck at Laurel. So what's your take on Northern Smile? I mean, she's going to have to kind of bring it to compete with the Vielsalms and Monster Sleepings and Gingers and Ryes here, isn't she?
Yeah. Well, going back to leaving Ginger and Rye out, the one post isn't the best. She's probably going to be laying in the middle of the pack. But I tend, in these kind of races where they're going 9 furlongs on the turf, I tend to settle on horses who've already proven or at least have run a 9-furlong race on the turf. And this will be Ginger and Rye's first time around. I love the breed in More Than Ready, but typically More Than Ready's kind of tap out at mile and 3/16. So that's why I took a chance to leave the morning line favorite off of the short field. The interesting thing before I get to Northern Smile is basically looks like Candida H and Debbie's 2 to the speed of the field. So if by any chance one of those gets scratch, we might have an opportunity to see a lone speed take them all the way, because everybody else is going to be off the pace. Now, if that happens, Monster Sleeping probably will push the lone speed. But getting back to your question about Northern Smile, I just like the fact that that last race was a serviceable race. It may have had a purpose first time run-in since last September. Horse looks like he's always given his best, and the fact that he has won at this distance and shows that he has the stamina. He's been in the money a couple times at Pimlico, where Monster Sleeping came up empty in both times at Pimlico. I just look at those factors and trying to find a price that might make an exact or trifecta a bit juicier than what you see on paper.
Ginger and Rye, of course, the favorite here, 5-2, as Derby Bill pointed out, was 7th in the Gallarette. So you got 3 coming out of the Gallarette. Gary, you also mentioned Candida H, who's, I think, a little bit of an interesting horse here. I mean, the mile and an eighth is a big question, but she completely fits with these on class. She is a state-bred stakes winner, in fact. And her one try, she's only run once on the turf, and it was only going 5.5 furlongs, but that was a perfectly credible try with a little bit of traffic, and she ends up third. And at that point, that was the highest speed figure she had recorded. So kind of an interesting horse to look at a little bit, 9-2 morning line. Have to see whether both she and Debbie's 2 stay in there. But that's the All Brandy for Maryland Breds. We got a couple votes for Vielsalm on top. We got a Monster Sleeping on top, and we've got a couple folks looking at maybe some price plays underneath. Turning to the 6th race, the White Oak Farm. This is a pretty intriguing group of horses here. It's a 5-furlong sprint going for 3-year-olds and up, Virginia bred, $60,000 purse, and Couple of interesting ways to go here. Nick, why don't you start us off? You land on a filly tackling the boys here, Exaggerated.
Yeah, kind of an interesting race here. The White Oak Farm was actually the farm of Carolyn Rogers. So you have the Nellie Cox, recently deceased in Virginia, the Edward P. Evans, a little bit while back, and then Carolyn Rogers. That's the name of the farm that she had. So kind of an interesting name for the race, if anyone was curious about it. But exaggerated, certainly. The race that she had in the very one, I mean, Lady Shipman was a mortal lock in that race and just ran huge in that race. And she ran third, a little over two lengths back, and finished the race extremely well. That's coming off of a race at Keeneland in the Giants Causeway that she won. So, it might be a pretty big blame day at Pimlico. A lot of I have blame, ironically, in a couple of these picks. But one thing about this field is Cat 55 is a horse that I really like. She's cross-entered in the race that we had earlier, the Edward P. Evans. And I think that's something to kind of pay attention to, where this horse ends up. Even though it's a smaller field, I think Cat 55 might have a better chance here. Two Notch Road is in this race, a 9-year-old. That horse is so old, it once ran a race at Colonial Downs. The Two Notch Road ran in the Colonial Turf Cup or the Virginia Derby. And it may have been in both, actually. But that's kind of a sentimental pick here. I didn't put him in there. Susan Cooney has made bail in this field, and I really respect the work that she does with her horses. She's very hands-on. And Hooligan, again, that's another horse that's crossing. You're going to have to really watch the cross-entered horses and see where they go at Pimlico on Saturday.
I want to, Gary, Nick just mentioned Made Bail, the Susan Cooney trainee, was fifth in the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, and that's actually who you have picked on top. Why don't you talk about Made Bail a little bit?
Yeah, I went with Made Bail. I'm impressed that, fifth by five isn't something to write home to mom about, 36-1, but when you're talking about behind Cape Cover, Spring of the Sky, and Ben's Cat, I don't think there's any of those types in here. And I like the fact that he can hang off the early pace. This is a 5-furlong sprint, so it's going to be hell's bells right from the start. But with 11 runners, and there's quite a bit of early speed in here, you have horse in here that's a 9-time winner, one for 31, and another one that's still eligible for 9 winners at 2. To me, he's got some class in here of the horses that can just sit off of it and hopefully make a run late to get the logical ones at the wire.
Derby Bill, you've got a price play underneath. You had Exaggerated on top, but you're looking at Joe Tess, a 12-1 shot trained by Hugh McMahon here, and Joe Tess, by the way, was bred by Ned Evans. Kind of an interesting thing there. But talk about Joe Tess and why you think Joe Tess is a horse that might be around late in this one.
Well, Joe Tess is a big runner late in the race, and this race is having marked as exaggerated on top here and 11 horses behind. I mean, this is a one-horse race on top, and I could fill it in with anything except for the horse Nick said ran the Colonial Downs and also lost a hot dog eating contest to me 9 years ago, Two Notch Road. That horse is so old, we were consuming together at Colonial Downs, so I'm throwing that one out and putting some shots in behind here. Joe Tess obviously has a big run last trip and loves the turf, and the Moon River, I like that one too. The outside post here, both outside horses here, Kenneth Cox. Jonathan Shepherd, just a master on turf. Way back to his winning the Colonial Downs Virginia Derby, this horse, this guy knows how to place a horse to get in the money, and I like this Moon River, its last run, last race. So this one's just wide open behind Exaggerated.
Moon River actually is another backer bred too, by the way, and interesting horse here that he won at First Asking in the Jamestown Stakes 2 years ago when it was run at Laurel. Has not won since in 10 straight starts, but also has not had the chance to run against Virginia Breds, and this will be a first try back at that. In the interim period, did run second in the Texas Glitter at Gulfstream, and most recently was second a neck in an allowance at Delaware Park. So there you have the White Oak Farm, a couple of guys on Exaggerated and one on Made Bail and hoping to beat the chalk here. So we'll see how that plays out. The seventh race is another one where everybody agrees and everybody's on the chalk. It's 1 1/8 for Maryland Breds, $75,000 find stakes, and everybody agrees that the winner is the horse that won it last year, the horse that's 4 for 6 on the turf, Flash Phelps. Bill, talk about Flash Phelps a little bit.
Yeah, as defending champ, red hot, and I mean 5 for 6 wins. The horse is just perfect for this race. And, 1 to 2, the morning line. You don't see too many morning line 1 to 2s from Mr. Keith up there at Maryland. Hell, he's very justifiable. I mean, I could put 1 to 9 out there if I wanted to offend the rest of the owners. But Fish Phelps is the fastest horse, and the most durable horse in this race. And this race is really weird. The first three horses in here, the 1, 2, and 3, were much above the 4, 5, and 6 to me. So it's pretty. These are a couple of short fields. I'm gonna have to blast a Frank Bespe, like $10 straight trifecta to make any money out of these races.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of these are going to be tough to make money on for sure. Not Nick, but Bill and Gary both like I Play Every Day underneath as a runner that was second in the fine to Flash Phelps at half length last year. Did not run from then until June of this year, just a few weeks ago, when third beaten 2 lengths behind Captain's Affair and English Minister, who's also here. But Gary, I want to ask you, a horse that you have on your ticket here, who's a little bit interesting, is a horse that is in maybe career best form right now. That's Cruisemore, who has won 3 of his last 4. What do you see in Cruisemore that's gonna work in here?
Well, it's pretty much what I don't see in the others. I think Flash Phelps, you gotta have him on top, and I Play Every Day runs back to that same race, or the race 2 back when he just missed by 1/2 length to Flash Phelps. He's there. I toyed with English Minister, but I was looking more for a price. You know, English Minister, again, we're back to that 1 1/8. English Minister's got 2 show efforts out of 4 starts, going 1 1/8. And I'm just thinking Cruisemore. You know, he's been at this distance 5 times, got a win and 2 place efforts. And I just look at the other ones, like Jack in the Deck. He's never gone this distance, been sprinting. He went 1 mile 10 races ago in the Henry Clark, but showed early speed and you know, spit out the bit down the lane. So is he going to go 1 1/8? And I would love to know what Schoenfeld's doing with Sonny Inspired. I think he's trying to hit the cycle every single distance there is. He goes from Charlestown on the dirt, Charlestown Classic to 6 furlongs. Now he's back to 1 1/8 on the turf. Another one that, yeah, he's got ability, he's got class, but are these two actually won any parts of 1 1/8 on the grass? So for a price, again, I'm fishing for a price, I'll go with the underdog of Cruisemore. Like you said, he's Dale Capuano, since he's taken him over, he's found the fountain of youth with this eight-year-old, and he's running good, so why not?
Nick Hahn, you know, you just heard Gary beaten up on Sonny Inspired a little bit. He's a horse that won the Ben's Cat Stakes going 3/4 of a mile at Laurel, then was eighth in the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic, then was fifth in the Maryland Sprint Handicap. Now he shows up back on the turf, back on a mile and eighth, and you have him underneath. Why don't you take up for him and tell Gary why he's wrong on this?
Well, maybe the only thing he hasn't tried is a route race on the turf. Maybe that's what he's been missing. If you look at the company this horse has run against, Always Sunshine, Stanford, Ben's Cat, just a Paige McKinney, a lot of good horses. And I'm not actually a big speed figure guy. In fact, I kind of hate him. But this horse has ran in the 90s in his last five starts. So with that Artie Schiller breeding, you know, maybe coming back to the turf. Work sometimes when they win on the mud, like he did in the Ben's Cat, that might be, what inspired him to bring him back to the turf. So sometimes when they win on an off condition on the dirt, it speaks to running on the turf a little bit. So that's basically it's for third. I think Flash Phelps is going to be much the best here. And if you look at Flash Phelps, the only race that he's lost in his last six attempts was to Rosebriar. So if you like Flash Phelps, you have to like Rosebriar in the earlier race as well. So I think the horse just seems to be running well now, and maybe they're just trying to find the right condition for him.
So there you have it, the find. Flash Phelps' race to lose, and probably I play every day underneath, although Nick also takes up for English Minister. That gets us to the final of the five stakes races at Pimlico on Saturday, the $60,000 Nellie Mae Cox going a mile on a 16th for Virginia Breeder sired fillies and mares, 3 and up. And this has, I think, the biggest field of the group. There's 13 entered. But all three of you guys end up on the same winner, Queen Caroline, who is going to be breaking from the far outside. Michael Matt's trainee just broke her maiden last out, going to have Alex Cintron in the irons. Nick, why are we so impressed with Queen Caroline?
It was an impressive win on Preakness Day, coming from pretty far back and swinging wide on the racetrack. I like the I mentioned Blame earlier in the podcast, thinking that Blame will probably have a good day as a sire at Pimlico on Saturday. She was a Knicks pick back in the day. By the way, the Nellie Cox, which is being run on Saturday, is nearly 10 years to the day after a Nellie Cox bred by the name of Showing Up won the Colonial Turf Cup after coming out of the Derby, a real memorable story at Colonial Downs when the Jacksons, a month after the Barbaro disastrous start in the Preakness starting gate there, they got a chance to smile in the Colonial Winner Circle a month after, when Barbaro was fighting for his life. So kind of a nostalgic look at that race. Nellie Cox, we lost her this year. But I like Queen Caroline here. You can't jump off a horse that treated you well, at least on Preakness Day.
I'm still waiting for one of them to treat me well, but we'll take your word on that one. Bill, one of the horses that you've got in your mix, who I think is an interesting horse in here, is Complete Saint, the Lilith Boucher trainee, who won the Brookmead last September at Laurel and followed that up with a win at Great Meadow, but was sixth last out at Great Meadow over the soft going. What makes you think that this runner is going to rebound in this spot?
Well, it's coming distance back to the distance that he think he likes a little bit better. Getting Horatio Karamanis is enough to make one run with this horse, and as you said, we've already all sequenced in on Queen Caroline, thinking Nick's Showing Up story was great. That was a $1 million race for Nellie Cox, and we remember that horse because the owners and skipped, won the Colonial Turf Cup, then they skipped the $1 million Virginia Derby. I mean,
that's
most
right.
People would run back-to-back just because of that. That's how good and well she took care of horses, and they didn't want to run the horse back that fast to run for $1 million, and they saved her, and she won this. I mean, showing up won the Secretariat Stakes because of that. That's another reason why we like this race named after her. Queen Caroline, it's the queen of Virginia race, and Nellie Cox there, behind, as far as training and breeding.
You were talking about showing up there just as Barkley Tagg in the winner's circle after that race was asked if he's running in the Virginia Derby, and he said, how many weeks until the Virginia Derby? And I said, 3, which is what it was at the time, and he said, no. See, that horse was out of the Virginia Derby before he got back to the paddock.
$1 million, you're sneezing at, so that tells you how much he cared about money.
Yeah.
Number one, the Hooligan was the other one in this race. I think that's Wesley Ward, if I'm not wrong. Wesley Ward coming back from the Royal Ascot drunk marathon over there, I would hope, where the Americans just ripped English butt. That was fabulous. So I'm putting respect to Hooligan in here. Plus, there was a bar named Houlihan's I used to go to years ago. So there's a name sequence in here. Sometimes you gotta use what you can.
Well, then you gotta bet every horse in the race.
Well, not this way. Not this
especially
way.
Especially if they're reminiscent of bars, huh? Gary, a horse that you mentioned in here, who's a little interesting, is For Finery, J.B. Secor, who likes to keep these old turf horses going. It's a 5-year-old Not For Love mare. Was fifth last out, going 5 furlongs over the strip. What do you think moves her forward here?
Well, before I go there, I have to one-up Bill and say I used to frequent a bar called Hooligan. So we'll end it right there with the bar talk. But, For Finery, even though 0-for-6 at the distance, looks like a sprinter, I like the fact that the horse encountered some trouble in that last race, still kind of ran on to be a close fifth while sprinting over this surface at Pimlico. Gets another shot at it, and turned in a nice serviceable work on the 21st, and Angel Surface stays on, whether that's good or bad, considering he's only 3 out of 60 for the meet. But I like the horse, and I like the fact that when she does go the distances, she's always there. She's always in the mix. You look at her running lines, and it looks like she's always coming, never gets there. So 4-8-1 in a nice big field, she might be able to have a spot in your exotics.
You've got another horse in your mix here who ran second in the Brookmead to Complete Saint last year. And this horse is a little interesting. Mike Trombetta trainee. It's Magician's Vanity, the 2-horse, 10-1 morning line. The horse is 0-for-16 on the turf, 0-for-9 at the distance. Million reasons to toss the horse. Not really in great form right now. But you kind of look at it, you go, hey, look, Victor Carrasco gets on board this horse, Gary.
Well, actually, the reason why I threw him in the third hole was not because of Carrasco. And for all the reasons you said, he's 1-for-22 lifetime, 0-for-16 on the turf. Looks like he's got a bit of second-itis. But you look at the comment line, horse is always in trouble. At some point in time, is it the horse's fault, the jock's fault, but steadied early, 6-to-7 wide, steadied early, rated back angle, 4-and-5 wide bid, bump, steadied at the start, checked at the first turn, waited, swung 8 wide. At some point in time, hopefully, and since Carrasco, first time on, maybe Carrasco can keep the horse out of trouble. And once again, maybe not be the winner at 10-to-1, but fill the exotics for a nice price.
Speaking of 10-to-1 horses, Nick, the one horse that somebody picked here that nobody's talked about yet, but is a 10-to-1 horse, the 11-horse Sweet Sandy, you have picked for second. interesting filly here, a flatter filly who won her first two career starts on turf, including an 8-length win and a Tampa allowance. Hasn't really lived up to that early promise, but you're willing to give this horse a look here. Talk about this horse a little bit, if you would, please.
Well, they tried to bring this horse back on the turf at Delaware, and she ended up winning anyway when the race got pulled off the turf, even though it was just a claiming race. And then they bring that horse back to the turf. It could have been very easily a situation where, maybe we should keep him on the dirt. Keep her on the dirt. Now let's go back to the turf. So they're really determined here. And yeah, this is a horse that has won a couple of races. If you look at some of the overall lifetime records of some of these horses, this horse just kind of seems to stack up, even though it's a little bit lower in class. Certainly, Edgar Prado is a bit of a plus here as well. Certainly on the turf. So I like that angle here. Just kind of looking at the breeders of some of these horses in this Virginia bred race, well represented here. You got Oddly Farm, you got Larry Johnson, you got Morgan's Ford, you got Lazy Lane, Althea Richards, Mita Cahaba here. So I mean, just kind of a well representation of Virginia breeders. And for those who think the Virginia breeding industry is has seen its last days, this is a pretty good core group that has put together a nice field for this race.
There you have the Nellie Mae Cox Stakes. We have consensus. Queen Caroline's the winner, but no consensus at all underneath. A lot of different our guys going a lot of different directions. Any closing thoughts on this day of Maryland and Virginia bred racing? Bill, let's start with you.
Well, as a gambler, you want to attack the biggest races and the biggest opportunity to make money. So the 50-cent pick three intriguing to me, the 7, 8, and 9 with the two stakes, and then the Virginia bred maiden to finish out the late. 50-cent pick three is great. I'm glad Maryland has that. And the 50-cent pick four there also with the 6, 7, 8, 9. Those two bets are the ones I focused in on because, as you see, some of the fields are short. And this, in the stakes races. So, I'm bowing to your greatness at Churchill Downs After Dark last week, Frank Busby. I heard you were giving out $500,000 pick sixes. So, if you've got a better pick four for me, my email is derbybill99@yahoo.com.
Gary, from the Maryland end of things, any last thoughts on this sequence of races?
Actually, it strains me being the Maryland guy. I looked at this entire card of turf races and got a flashback thinking, wouldn't it be great to have these races run at Colonial on the great turf course that once was? But we're Pimlico, and for the horizontal bettors, pick four, pick five, there's a lot of singling opportunities that you can go deep and just hope for a price. And some of the races you go deep, and the card has potential outside of maybe a couple of the free spaces.
And finally, we're going to give you the last word on this. Nick Hahn, what's your take on this series here?
It's interesting because it's the second biggest stakes day at Pimlico for this meet. It's also the second only stakes day, but maybe something to build on here. A lot of these farms are about an hour from Pimlico. A lot of these northern breeders are Northern Virginia breeders, and it might be kind of a good little accident. It was forced on Virginia Racing, but wouldn't it be neat to kind of have a Maryland Virginia series that survives more than Saturday, in terms of races like this. Maybe even intermingle the Maryland breds and the Virginia breds in some of these lower level stakes races, kind of like what they do with the Sunshine Millions or something. But it could turn out to be a nice little accident. It's going to be a great day for racing. I think temperatures in the lower 80s, which is ideal. We've been down the Colonial when those triple digits show up. So, it'll be interesting to see the response of this day on Sunday and Monday of this weekend, and just see how people react to it.
All right, gentlemen, this has been fantastic. Nick Hahn, Derby Bill Watson, Gary Quill, thank you all so much. Thanks to everyone. All right. Thanks to everyone for listening. This has been the Off to the Races podcast on the Racing Biz Radio, handicapping Mid-Atlantic Day at Pimlico Racecourse.